There are forces in the world today who oppose our Christian faith. They attempt to destroy everything that's holy and control what preachers say. But God still has a few good men who won't bend, won't bow, won't turn. They will fight to the end to defend that faith until the day that the whole world learns. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground.
Despite what the non-believers say, our God has never changed.
His word still means everything it says. It is now and forever the same.
The world may think they have won this fight, but there are some who can still be found.
Who will never give in and will never give up.
We will stand our ground.
There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. When the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. When the world flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. We will stand our ground.
God bless you, Brother Martin. Amen. I feel like fighting. Amen. That's good. Amen. Well, I tell you, we sure need to stand our ground. We're living in a day and age where so many people are giving up and giving in. And let me ask you that question. What's worth fighting for you? It seems like we've gone to that. We're such a soft society. And we just don't even stand on the things that are right, the things we ought to. But good to be here. Thank you, Brother Terry. I appreciate you and your friendship. And I appreciate Faith Baptist Church and your friendship to me through these years, and it's been a long time. I've been coming for a number of years, and remember back in the old part when we back there, wherever it was at. And anyway, the first time I met you, I'm going to tell this story and get you laughing, and then he doesn't even know this. But what happened was I went to Mount Salem. I'm a 38-year-old guy trying to get started in evangelism. That's not a good scenario right there. But anyways, Brother Taylor told me, he said, you know, one of the best things you can do is to come out to the National God Save America. It was out of Brother Vineyards at that time. And, man, you'll get to meet, there'll probably be 100 preachers there. Man, you'll have an opportunity to meet all these different guys and everything. And I'm thinking, man, but I don't even know how I'll get out there. I don't have the money to make it. He said, just try to preach somewhere on the way or find somewhere you can stay and just... So anyways, we figured it out. We made it work. We showed up out there. And here I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have this opportunity to meet a bunch of preachers for the first time. And, you know, maybe through some contacts, maybe get some meetings and everything. I mean, you know, getting started at 38 years of age. I mean, my first year in evangelism, I was a flaming evangelist. I had 9 meetings, one-day meetings. And so, you know, you got to meet people. And you got so we got there late on Monday. We went to the service Monday night. Next morning, they had the morning services, and we had a long day and a half of travel to get out there. And so I let my wife and kids sleep in, and I got up early and got dressed, got out of there, and went to the services that morning. That morning, Brother Randy invited me to meet some of the preachers, and he took me up to introduce me to some of the preachers. And one of the first preachers that he introduced me to was Brother Angel. And Brother Angel probably doesn't even remember this, but anyways, I met a whole bunch of other preachers and everything, and then we had that little snack or whatever they had afterwards, and so I went over there, and then Brother Taylor says, he drives up, and he says, "Hey, I got Brother Vineyard here." He said, "I want you to meet Brother Vineyard." And I said, "Okay," so I leaned in the car to look in the car to meet Brother Vineyard, and when I did, I looked down, and I was wearing two different shoes. God's my witness. I had a black shoe and a brown shoe on. Yeah, go ahead, laugh at me. Make it worse. No, I'm telling you, you say, "What did you do?" I ran back to the trailer as fast as I could, thanking God. These guys are going to think I'm a weirdo, a wacko. Who is this guy? Anyway, that's the first time I met your preacher. But and he talked with me for a few moments there, and a year or two later, I had the opportunity to come out, and just, he's been a dear friend. I sure love him. Thank the Lord for him. And boy, I tell you, there's a 99.999% of America would love to have your preacher. I can tell you that. And so you better treat him good. Amen. And anyway, I'm thankful for the privilege to be here. Book table's back there. If you're interested in something afterwards, we'll be back there. I was telling preacher the message I'm going to preach tonight. Boy, I tell you, I'm getting older. And just like a lot of us getting older, and I don't know how much longer the Lord will have me be out and traveling around and everything, but I want to leave something to help people. And that's my heart's desire, is to try to help people. And I hope the message tonight will do that. It's going to be more of a kind of a telling the story of the children of Israel and things for a little bit here, and then we'll get to the point. But there's, when you think about the scriptures, and I think about the men of the Bible that were used in the Bible, we look at a lot of pairs of men that work kind of hand in hand. I mean, I'm talking about when one name is mentioned and the other name automatically comes to mind. I'm talking about men who saw the Lord do great things through their lives and mighty things through their lives. You just think about it. I mean, when I hear the name David, the first thought that comes to mind is Jonathan. Jonathan really helped him. Jonathan could have been a hindrance. But Jonathan really helped David to be able to move forward and do what God wanted him to do. Assisted him along the way too. When I think about Joshua, I automatically think about Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. I mean, 12 men went to spout Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Amen. And those two men worked together. Boy, God allowed them to go on and to make it into Canaan land. Then I think about Elijah. You think about Elisha, of course. Elijah and Elisha. I mean, two men that worked together. Elisha served beside Elijah and was his minister for 10 or 12 years before the Lord took him home. When I think about Paul, I think about Barnabas. Boy, Barnabas was... Boy, that's the kind of Christian every one of us need to be, a Barnabas. Amen. And I think about that. But the couple that I want to talk about tonight, this pair, is from the Old Testament, and it is Moses. And, of course, his sidekick, his partner, his brother Aaron. Moses and Aaron working together. Moses, as far as I can see, the greatest leader in the Old Testament, as meek and as humble and as he was, and the one that God called to stand beside him and to be his mouthpiece and to be his helper to fulfill God's will for them and, by the way, for the people of Israel also, to fulfill God's will for their life. Now, the first mention of Aaron, and you probably won't be able to see your Bible, so I'm going to just read you through this. In Exodus chapter 4 is the first mention when Aaron comes in. Now, if you think of what's happened here, Moses has had the burning bush experience. And God has spoken to him out of the bush and told him what he wanted him to do. And, of course, Moses is coming up with all of these excuses about why he can't do it. I can't speak. And God says, "Well, who made your mouth? I mean, come on, you know. Well, who am I supposed to tell him sent me? Will you just tell him I am that I am sent you? That's it. Don't worry about it. Just get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on what I want you to do." Well, God finally gets frustrated with him here. And in chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says this, and let me see. the light. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do, and you shall be thy, he shall be thy spokesman of the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And we continue on down through that passage of Scripture. It talks about how God told Aaron himself. In verse 27, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped. So we see this passage of Scripture where Aaron comes together with Moses and God reveals to them what they're supposed to do, the work that he has for them, and what they were supposed to be doing together, if you would. And from here, we begin to see that the contest with Pharaoh, and by the way, the contest with the children of Israel, too. The children of Israel didn't give in the way they should, didn't follow them the way that they ought to, but God never promised that his will would be easy. For none of us. God's never promised that. And it gets worse before it gets better. As we know, Pharaoh, he doubles down on the workload and making them gather their own straw to make their bricks. And they murmur at Moses and at Aaron. And fast forward to chapter 7 and verse 1. I want to read one verse to you there. It says, the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. So he says, Aaron's your prophet. I want you to go in and I want you to speak to him and I want you to tell him what basically let my people go. They are 80 and 84 years of age at this point in time. And God begins the plagues or the miracles, if you would, and God's speaking to Moses and God's speaking to Aaron, and sometimes he speaks to them together and sometimes he speaks to them separately by their own selves. And if you continue to check it out and study it out, you'll find out that Moses oftentimes spoke to God back and forth. There's communication going on. But where I'm leading with this message, we don't see that happening with Aaron. So some of the plagues are accomplished through Moses himself. If you reread all the plagues, you'll find out that the plague of the flies, the plague of the murrain, the plague of the hail, and the plague of darkness. God speaks to Moses, and Moses is the one who goes forward and sees these things happen. Some of them, they're jointly together. The other plague. Well, of course, the rod that's made a snake and all that. The water made blood. The frogs, the lice, the boils and blains, the locusts. All those things were done with the two of them together. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 1, I'm going to read this to you here, and it says this. I can turn my page here. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 1. Pages are sticking. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. This shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 12th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, and make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. Can you imagine seeing the Passover? Can you imagine being a part of that and God's working through Aaron and through Moses and telling them to tell the people to do this. Why? Because the death angel was going to pass through. The death angel was going to kill all the firstborn. And the death angel would pass over the houses of those that had the blood on the lintel and the signpost. A picture, a forerunner, if you would, for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, whose blood would give us the opportunity to be saved and be spared. Well, hallelujah, what a thought. Exodus chapter 13 and chapter 14. Can you imagine watching God do those great and mighty miracles? I mean, the children of Israel waiting there at the Red Sea, and then they see Pharaoh's host and the army coming and everything, and God, Moses stands up and says, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." God sends that pillar of fire to stand between them, protect them from that. The Red Sea, God parts the Red Sea. Can you imagine being there that day? I mean, when God took a sea and divided that sea, a space 3 miles wide, so they could get through 5,000 abreast in one night. Man, what a miracle of God. Moses and Aaron were the two men that really had the big part in what God was doing in and through this whole experience. And you say, well, yeah, but there was a lot of other things that happened. Yeah, I know. There was a lot of murmuring and complaining from the people. I mean, just 3 days removed from the crossing of the Red Sea, they began to complain and bellyache about the water of Marah. That water was bitter. They couldn't drink water. What are we going to do? And they complained at Moses and Aaron. And then again, with the manna, the bread. You know, we don't have any bread. What are we going to do? God says, you just wait tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning you go out, there's going to be this little white hoarfrost on the ground. And you pick it up and you're going to make bread out of it. Bread from heaven. Amen. Well, we don't have any meat to eat. They're complaining again. God says, okay, you want meat? I'm going to give you quail tomorrow so deep that you're going to have to walk through them. I mean, all these miracles that God does. Now, yes, the complaining of the people of Israel. But every time they complained at Moses and Aaron, and Moses and Aaron fell on their face, God met the need. God cared for them. God showed Moses and Aaron, I'm here for you. I'm going to take care of this. Can you imagine Exodus chapter 17, the battle with Amalek? The picture of the world, the Amalekites. And Moses goes out there that day and he holds his hands up and holds that rod up. And as he holds his hands up, they're winning the victory. And then all of a sudden he gets tired and his arms begin to drop. And when they do, then they begin to, the battle begins to turn the other way. So they set Moses on a rock. And two men, one on either side, goes under his arms and lifts his arms up. Who were they? What were their names? Aaron and Hur. And they lifted their arms up. They lifted his arms up. And what happened that day? They won a mighty victory that day. Amen. Because these two men, who were the ones who were, well, especially Aaron, but Hur also was given there to help the man of God that day. And to be able to see that battle won. Chapter 18, God gives Moses men to help him to bear the burden of the people by Jethro's counsel. And to help him, he said, you're going to wear away if you don't have people to help you. And so God blesses him and gives him those 70 people that he took out and pulled out from among them. Chapter 19 and 20, Sinai and the Ten Commandments. Man, what that must have been like to have the Ten Commandments engraven on stone. The law is given in Exodus 21 through 23. I'm going to fast forward to Exodus 24 and I want to read something to you here. In Exodus chapter 24, God speaks to Moses and Aaron, and here's what he says. It says, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, his sons also, and 70 of the elders of Israel, those 70 that you called out, and worship ye afar off. Then he says in verse 2, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. So God says, you know what, I want you to come up, and I'm going to speak with you. Now, of course, I want you to bring Aaron with you and bring his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, with you. And the 70 of the elders, they can come up also, but I just want you to come up closer to me. And so Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar there in the hill and with 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in the basins and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and he read in the audience of the people And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. It says, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and behold, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now listen to this. Verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10 says this. And they saw the God of Israel. Wow. Can you imagine seeing God? They got to see God. Now, of course, scriptures tell us nobody sees His face, nobody, but they got to see God. It said, now think of this, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders. They saw God of the God of Israel, and there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, He laid not His hand. Also, they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went unto the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, notice this is what he says, Aaron and Hur are with you. If you have any matters to do, let them come unto them. So, okay, now Aaron, who's been with him all the way, who's been with all this that's going, all these miracles, all that God's doing, all Aaron, okay, now it's time for you to take control while I'm gone. And Hur helping also. It says, and Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And a cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Boy, listen to this. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went in the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Can you get that picture in your mind? That as they went up there in the mount, they got to see God that day. But not only that, God, this is what Moses said to Aaron. He says, I want you to know that you need to, if there's any problems, the people are going to come to you. You got to handle this now. I'm not going to be there beside you, but you got to handle this and Hur. And then as they step back a little bit, and Moses goes on up in there and the cloud covers it, they see the glory of God like devouring fire on the mount. Now, you study it out, I think you'll find that never went away. While he was up there, that glory of God was like devouring fire up on the mount. Can you picture being able to see that? Children of Israel just told them, you know, everything that the Lord said, we'll do, and we'll... Of course, we know what they were. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Okay? So, I'm going to fast forward a little bit further, and we're going to look at Exodus chapter 32. Now, you know what happens. While Moses was away, the mice began to play. And it tells us here in chapter 32 and verse 1, it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So the people that Aaron's supposed to be helping to be in charge of now, and Moses has already told him to take care of any of the business that happens, anything that's going on, now it's Aaron's opportunity to step forward and do what he's supposed to do. And the very next verse says this. It says, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Who was the they there? It was Aaron and Hur and the 70 of the elders. They were supposed to be there taking care of this. It says in verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I mean, this is hard to wrap my mind around. How in the world, Aaron, you were with Moses, you were working together. God gave you direction. God was working through you in all of these mighty acts and things that were taking place. You were there with Moses through all of this. And Moses just told you, now you got to take care of business here. And so the people come to you. Yes, the people. The people that are always up and down and everything. But listen, you're supposed to guide them. You're supposed to direct them. They come to you and you cave in. You just give in and do whatever the people want. All the while, the sight of the devouring fire of an almighty God, the glory of God, taking place while they're doing this. Amazing. It says in verse 7, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. God's trying to personalize this to Moses. It's your people that you brought out. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And God said, you know what, Moses? Let me just make of you a great nation. Let me wipe them all out. Boy, thank God for a leader that cared for the people that were under him. And he began to plead for them. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? He said, God, you know, I know this is not me. I know none of what I'm doing. This is not about me. God, this is you. And this is your people. And God, you're the one that's brought him out with this mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? And turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do on his people. Wow. Moses, the leader that God had raised up, pled for the people, and God repented. And I thought, that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, exactly. But God repented. He changed his mind. You mean you can make God change his mind? Moses did. I wonder if any of us have enough power with God to be able to see God change his mind about something in life and to turn it in a positive way. It goes on to tell us here, as we continue to read, it says in verse number 15, Moses turned and went down from the mount. Oh, he was mad. Two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and one on the one side and the other, they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven on the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf, the dancing. Moses' anger waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hands and broke them from beneath the mount. And I've heard people say, man, it was a great sin that Moses did that day. It wasn't a sin he did that day. Moses was angry with a righteous indignation, with a righteous anger. God never did anything to Moses for that. You think God couldn't rewrite those tablets just like that? I mean, it says he took the calf which they had made and burned it in fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, now here we go, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? What did these people that were put under your care do to you that caused you to make them commit such a great sin? Well, wait a minute. It was the people that, well, no, wait a minute. He's the one who had the charge of the people. He's the one that was supposed to take care, make sure they stayed right. By you caving into them, you caused them to commit a great sin. Amen. And it goes on to say this, and of course you know the next passage, what's going to happen here. It says, and verse number, I guess find where I'm at now here. And Aaron said, here we go, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. And so they gave it to me. And then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Well, amazing. A miracle of God again. You know, it's interesting. Moses doesn't even talk to Aaron after this. He just turns from him and he makes that statement, who's on the Lord's side? I mean, come on. How in the world, Aaron, you're going to try to throw the excuses that, it's the people. It's all the people's fault. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Hey, all I did was throw it in there and this calf come walking out of the fire. Okay. All of this that I've gone through to bring us to this point. This is the title of the message. This is the thought of the message. And I'm going to speak to you about 10 more minutes and I'm done. This is it. It's a dangerous place to be in the will of God, doing the work of God, and yet never developing a walk with God. A very dangerous place to be. In the will of God, doing the work of God, and yet never developing a walk with God. You see, because Moses and Aaron were in that position, they were definitely in the will of God. And they were definitely in the middle of doing the work of God. But the difference between the two is one walked with God and one didn't. We can bring this down to, we're talking about some leaders here, yes, but we can bring it down to our level right here. We can bring it down to moms and dads in a home. I mean, you might be right where God wants you to be. You're in the will of God, man. It's the will of God that you're a member of Faith Baptist Church. It's the will of God that you have the family that you have right now. It's the will of God. You're right there in the will of God in your life where you're supposed to be. And you might be involved in the work of God. You might be involved here at the church and doing things in the church and being on a bus route or being in a Sunday school class or going soul winning and doing those kind of things and everything. But can I ask you the question tonight? Are you developing your walk with God? It's real easy to take care of the other two and not that part. Amen. You can be right where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and yet never developing that walk with God. The most important work of any child of God is their walk with God. Absolutely, by far. You know, the truth of the matter is, the most important work of your pastor is not counseling. The most important work of your pastor is not preaching. The most important work of your pastor is not coming to see you at the hospital, make hospital visits and do these other things. Hey, I'm going to probably lose some of you here, but the most important of work of your pastor is not soul winning. The most important work of your pastor is to walk with God. Because if he doesn't walk with God, he'll end up like an Aaron and implode. And I've seen it happen all over. Seen it happen everywhere. Oh, it's so important. Hey, the most important work of an evangelist. It's not traveling the roads, beating the roads, meeting to meeting, going out knocking doors all the time, soul winning, witnessing, trying to see revival happen. You put all those things together. Yes, that's part of what our work, hey, that's part of what your preacher's work is, the things that I said. But that's not the most important part of the work. The most important work of the evangelist is to develop my walk with God. Because if I'm not continuing to develop my walk with God, there's going to come a point where it's going to stagnate and you get away from God, just like I was preaching about this morning, and your life's going to implode. Amen. You're going to fall into sin. You're going to fall into temptations. You're not going to be the leader you ought to be. You're not going to lead your family the right direction. You're not going to take care of them. Hey, let's take it a little further. The most important job of a child is to walk with God. Amen. That's why we preach. That's why Brother Hanks has developed all that curriculum and everything and trying to help you what? Getting young people to learn to walk with God as soon as you can. Amen. Why, it's the greatest thing you can do in your life. Man, the one thing that you'll never have to get rid of or give up is your walk with God. You can continue to develop that throughout your life. I think of the story of Martha and Mary. We know that story. Luke chapter 10, where it tells us that he came to Bethany. And Mary was there, Martha was there, and he went into the home of Mary and Martha. And Martha was cumbered about much serving. It says, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And of course, Martha, she begins to turn to the Lord and said, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what he was telling? He didn't beat her down because of serving. He was just telling her, you got your priorities out of whack here. Every one of us ought to be serving our God. Every one of us ought to be in the will of God. But every one of us ought to be developing our walk with God. Because if you're not doing, that's the greatest thing that we can do. I've told people this before. People say, well, you're trying to say that work isn't important. I didn't say any of that. I'm saying if you walk with God the way you should, God will get more out of your life than you could ever dream of giving to Him. Because when you fall in love with Him, He's got everything. He's got all of you. Amen. He can do what He wants to do with your life and mine. What I used to tell the students up there at college when I helped start the college up in Gaylord, when they would come the very first semester each year, I would go through a little thing and I'd preach a chapel message. And the chapel message was this. It was, how to make it at Grace Baptist College. Matter of fact, I was just preaching in a meeting in Missouri, and a young man who went to college up there came up to me and he said, I still remember that message that you preached my first semester there. That message about learning how to make it. And I said, yep. And he said, that was so crazy when you started preaching. I thought, what is that all about? Because point number one was, walk with God. And point number two was, walk with God. And point number three was, walk with God. What are you saying? Hey, listen, the greatest thing for you to do here is not to go through your classes and get straight A's in your classes. I want you to do that. And I want you to study hard. I want you to be focused on that. Hey, the greatest thing coming up here, it's not to get involved in the bus ministry, and it's not to get involved. I want you to be involved in those things. But let me tell you something. If you're going to make it throughout life, and if you're going to be able to keep on going, the greatest thing you can do is learn how to walk with God right now. If you don't walk with God now, you're going to implode somewhere down the road. Amen. What are you saying? I'm just saying, getting back to walking with God. Hey, in the will of God. Aaron was in the will of God. Doing the work of God. He was surely doing the work of God. But Aaron was not walking with God. You say, well, I don't know about that, Brother Martin. Well, I do know. I've studied it out. The Bible is very clear and tells us that Moses communicated and talked with God continually. Back and forth. God talked to Moses and Aaron again and again and again. But it never one time in the Scriptures, I've studied it out, never one time does it say that Aaron spoke to God or talked to God. Not one time. So look at the end result of that. You got two leaders who God raised up, and yes, one was the, I guess you'd say, the superior of the two, but they were working together with God, and yet one ended up close to God, and the other one ended up just a shell. What was the end result of it? Moses pled for the people that God placed under him. The end result of Aaron? Aaron accused the people. Okay, let me bring it down to home now. In your family, if you're not going to walk with God, you're not going to be the kind of parent that pleads for your children before the Lord and leads them in the right direction. You're going to get frustrated with your children. You're going to accuse your children. Well, if God would have given me better children, if God would have... Sometimes you don't say that, but that's what we feel in our heart. Why? Because we're not where we should be with the Lord. If we were where we ought to be with the Lord, then it will strengthen us. Listen, and by the way, spouses, you can't bank on living on the spirituality of one another. What do you mean by that? Just if dad's spiritual and mom's not, the family's going to implode. Amen, Brother Martin. That's good preaching. What are you talking about? Listen, Both of you got to be working together. The problem here was Aaron and Moses, they were together, but Moses was the only one walking and talking with God. Aaron never developed that walk and talk with God. And so when it came time for him to make the right decision, listen, he caved in to the people. Preacher, I've seen this happening. I've seen it happen around the country. And I really believe this is one of the problems that we're having with some churches that are turning a corner, going a different direction, and they're listening to people on the outside, and they're listening to their own children. And why is that happening? Hey, they turn the corner, they go a different direction, they don't stand like these men sang so greatly, they don't stand the way we ought to stand. And why are they caving in? Because they're not walking with God the way they're supposed to walk with God. Amen. It's the same way with all of us. We ain't going to make it if we're not walking with God. Moses led the people to God. Aaron led the people to forsake God. Moses' heart was in trying to advance the cause of God for the people's sake. The cause of God for the people's sake. But Aaron's heart was in trying to advance his own cause at the people's expense. That's what will happen when we're not walking with God. We'll accuse everyone that's under us, everybody that's... Moses was the leader he was because of his dependency on and his walk with God. And Aaron was the leader he was because he didn't. By the way, when Moses and Aaron committed that sin and not sanctifying the Lord before the people and smiting the rock, and Aaron's life was taken away almost immediately. I mean, just like almost right away his life was taken. But interesting, God led Moses to continue on and take the children to the brink of the promised land. Why? Because he knew that Moses had his heart. He knew that Moses was the one who had been talking with him. If there's a common issue in our Christianity today, it's in our failure to truly walk with God. I mean, truly, sincerely, day in, day out, moment by moment, have that continual walk with God. You say, why, Brother Martin? Because that's the part that man can't see. We're enamored with making sure that men know that we're in the will of God. Or we're enamored with making sure that men know that we're doing the work of the Lord. But what about that hidden part that nobody else sees? We want to make sure everybody knows what we're doing. But what about God? Because God knows our heart. I shared that story this morning about my cousin and her husband. That whole thing fell apart. That whole marriage fell apart. Out of the ministry. A young man that memorized the entire New Testament was a powerful preacher. His life was... Why? Because he stopped developing his walk with God. Listen, Brother Auger, you're not at the place where you should be right now. You say, whoa, why are you saying that to somebody like that? Because there's not a one of us that are. We never end up. We never arrive to where we don't need to walk with God. We need to develop and work on that every day of our lives. Why? So we stay sensitive to Him, so He can work through us and accomplish what He wants to. You stop walking with God, you're going to implode. Your life's going to be a mess. I'm talking from the vantage point of a person that's been there and done that. Lived it. When I went to Mount Salem, those 6 years that I was at Mount Salem, I mean, everybody on the outside said, man, everything's so great. And even when Brother Walker, I just tried to be a help to Brother Walker. And then when Brother Walker left, it was me and Brother Miller helped me. But that was a well-oiled machine, what was happening there. I mean, it's just tremendous what God was doing and everything. Was I in the will of God? Absolutely, I was in the will of God. Was I doing the work of God? Absolutely, I was doing the work of God. But you can ask my wife. For 4 to 5 months out of the year. I mean, I'm up at... I come home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And at the camp, all the camp season, I have to be back at the camp by 5:30. So I got 2 to 3 hours. Okay, 2 to 3 hours. And that was continual. I mean, that was running. I had to take care of all the staff. I had to take care of all the activities. I had to plan all the camp. I had to do all... So 2.5 to 3 hours from 2 a.m. to 5:30 a.m. And that's my time to walk with God, take care of my family, or sleep. What do you think happened in that short period of time? What are you saying, Brother Martin? Well, when I told Brother Taylor I got to leave, I have to leave. He was like, what are you talking about? What are you? We can make it look good on the outside. Yes, oh, you can make it look good. But where was my time for God? Because God didn't save you to get to just so that you could have your fire insurance to go to heaven and not walk with Him and not let Him use your life the way He wants to use your life. He saved you unto Him. Amen. And He's supposed to be the most important thing in your life and mine. Now let me just ask this question. If that is dependent upon your walk with God, is He the most important part of your life? I'm not trying to be mean. Man, I just long for some people to have a revival in their spirit. And to not only that, but to see their families thrive. To see churches thrive. And to see people not fall by the wayside. I think about old Moses when he cried out to God there in Exodus chapter 32 and 33. You know, when God says, I'll just send an angel out before. I'm not going before you. It's a bunch of stiff-necked people. I'll send the angel out. And Moses set the tabernacle up and he met with God. Why? Because he wanted to talk with God. It says God talked with him face to face. As a friend talking to a friend. And Moses cried out and said, God, you said you'd know me by name. But now you're not even telling me who's going to go before me. And God was so moved again that He said, you know what? My presence shall go with you. He said, if thy presence go not with me, take us not up hence. I don't want to go if your presence isn't here. And then He carried it even a little bit further. Oh God, show me thy glory. I want to see you in a greater way. Come on, people. Tell me, how much do we really want to see God in a greater way in our life? How much do we really want to see Him in a great... And God's words back to him. And nobody's seen my face. You're not going to see my face. Oh, I love this. But there is a place by me. There's a place by God for each and every one of His children that sit here tonight. Are you sitting at the table with Him day in and day out? Are you developing that walk with Him? I believe that the Lord could speak tonight from heaven, and He audibly spoke to us. I believe He would say, just like He said to Peter that night in John chapter 21, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He had a third time he had to challenge him with that before he finally said, Lord, you know all things. You know what's in my heart. I believe that night transformed Peter's life when God brought him to the point to really get honest about where he was at in his relationship with him. I believe if God could speak to heaven from heaven tonight, I believe that he would say as he did to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, I know thy works. And thy labor. And I know how hard you're working. I know your labor. I know, but I've got somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. And it's good to be in the will of God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so thankful, preacher. I'm in the will of God for my life. I know I am. It's good. It's a great thing to be doing the work of God. I praise Him every day that He gives me the strength to be able to travel around and do what He wants me to do. This is what God's called me to do. I thank Him for that. But let me tell you something more important is I thank Him so much that I have the privilege to every day walk with Him, to know Him, to communicate with Him, to see Him working in my life. More important than anything else. I plead with every one of us that sit here tonight. Let's stop getting the facade down. And let's get to the heart of the matter. And let's get our lives back in tune with God and our walk with Him. It would take care of a whole lot of sin issues. It would take care of a lot of marital problems. You wouldn't need counseling with your preacher. I know there's some things, but listen, it would take care of 99.9% of all counseling if we just walked with God the way that we're supposed to. The danger of being in the will of God doing the work of God, but not developing your walk with God. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight as we come to the conclusion of the simple thought this evening. I pray that we would be honest in our heart. And Lord, that you would help us to truly be honest before you tonight. God, I believe there's such a dearth of your children that really hunger to live and walk with you every day of their life. We look at Aaron and what a disaster his life was. Oh, he was around the work all the time, in your will, but never really developing that walk with you. And we see the end result of it. Lord, I pray it would never be said about any family here that that happened. God, I pray it wouldn't be said about these church members that they walk away, that their lives implode. God, please get us back to walking with you as parents, as leaders, the way we should. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm not going to say anything else. If God spoke to your heart, the altar is open. Why don't you do business with God tonight?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior.
Just the piano, just the piano. Don't be in a rush. Take your time tonight. Do something that will help you in this area. When you get home tonight, set a time and a place to read your Bible and pray. I say I'm convinced. I don't know. I don't live in your house. I don't live in the homes of other God's people. But I really wonder if a lot of people don't struggle in this area because you just haven't set a time. This is my time to walk with my God, to read my Bible, to spend a few minutes in prayer, and ask Him to help me through this day, bring honor and glory to Him. We have time for everything. And we leave this to chance. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you know, you can say, well, that's the basics. Let me tell you, that's not just the basics. That is the elementary level, the junior high level, the high school level, the secondary level, the graduate level, the postgraduate level. You never, ever get away from that simple truth. Our Bible and our prayer time. That's it. You never get to where you don't need it. I think that's why the devil fights it so much. He knows how much our opportunity of living for God and honoring God depends on our walk with God. And so I appreciate the process of taking us through all that Moses and Aaron did together. And in the end, you see where one stood and one didn't. May God help us tonight. May God help us. Do yourself a favor. Go home. Think about it. Sit down when you've got some time. If you're not consistent in this matter of your walk with God, nail it down to a time and a place when you can get in that book and read a few verses. Spend just a few moments in prayer with your God. Brother Martin, thank you tonight. Thank you for helping us with that. And I spoke to my heart and obviously many, many others. You just can't find anything more true about our life with God than just spending time with Him. Excellent message. And it's so true. It's so easy to be in the will of God, doing the work of God, and not developing that walk with Him. Excuse me. So I appreciate that. Tonight, the ushers are going to get the plates. And we're going to take an offering. Go ahead and be seated for Brother Martin tonight. And one of you men, go ahead and give us a couple of these lights in the middle here. Brother Tom, thank you. And if you want to make a check out, make it out to our church. Brother Martin will get every penny that comes in this offering. Now, that's okay. Let's just leave those. Now, let me remind you, go by the table and look at the materials that he has available, okay? And take advantage of the Bibles or whatever the books are. Hey, listen, if you've been struggling with material for family altar, Brother Hanks has done us a great favor by developing that material. That is a brief little Bible story snapshot that you can use for devotions, okay, with your kids. So I hope that you'll take advantage of it. Go by the table. Brother Martin will be back there with Terry, and you can speak with him on your way out. Father in heaven, I want to thank you tonight for speaking to my heart. I don't ever want to get away from this simple bottom line truth of that time that we all need to spend with you. I don't want to get away from it for my sake, for my wife's sake, for our children, their spouses, our grandchildren, this church. God, please. Heavy, heavy on us tonight if we don't listen to what the band said from your book. Take it home and put it into action. May every busy man and dad and husband find some time for you. May every busy woman, mother, wife, children, grandmother find time for you. And every teenager and child, God, please, may we never drift too far from that special set-aside time where we read our Bible and talk to you, that time of devotion. Oh, God, make it so tonight. May this be the night when somebody turns the corner in this area and gets it nailed down, I pray. Bless the offering. In Jesus' name, amen.